Thank you.
You need anything from me?
I think I'm good. Okay. Thanks, bro. Amen. Kayla, it's good to see you. And I'm so excited I'll get a chance to meet your husband. It's awesome. Bless the Lord. It's good to have you here. Well, amen. The Lord is good, isn't he? It's amazingly good. Yeah, bless the Lord. I've been really excited. Last couple months, I've been hearing kind of some stirrings, people sharing a little bit about, just fasting and kind of some renewed interest in fasting. And so I really felt, a little over a week ago, to just share on fasting, talk about fasting. Don't shut down now. Don't go, oh, no, not fasting. This is incredible what God's word has to say about fasting. I think you'll agree with me as we take a look at this. It's really amazing stuff. Fasting is powerful, powerful thing. And so we're going to take a look at this. We're going to look at fast, what the scriptures say about this. And we're going to turn to Isaiah 58, if you have your Bible. And we're going to be going right through that chapter. It's amazing stuff here. Now, God starts off here in verse 1. He's got a message for Isaiah. He says, hey, cry aloud. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Hey, I got some really important to say to your people, or to my people, he says. Declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Ouch. My goodness. You hear that sometimes. You go, oh, no, God's going to point out a sin in my life. Ah. Hey, he only does that because he loves us, you know. He doesn't do it. God never points out sin because he's mad at us. He's just upset. He just wants to accuse us. He wants to help us. And unless he points something out, we just keep going our own merry way, and there's no effect. There's no change, and we suffer because of it. So he's saying, listen, I want to help you guys. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Verse 2, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as if they were a nation that did righteousness. He says, hey, they're seeking me every day. In fact, they even like to know my ways and the ways I do things. That's a good thing, right? As if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. You know, they ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near God. There's some good things going on. They want to see me come through. They want to see me work on their behalf. He says, that's good stuff, but there's a problem. And they've already noticed it. Look at what it says in verse 3. They say, why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? How come we're not seeing the breakthrough that we see when we read the scriptures, Lord? We look at the scriptures, we see people fasting. Moses fasts for 40 days, 40 nights. You know, we see Samuel fasting. We see the nation fasting at different times. And there's these breakthroughs that follow. And they're going, we're not seeing it. We're fasting, and we're not seeing the breakthrough. What's going on? The Lord says, glad you asked. Glad you asked. I got something to share with you here. This is what he says. He says, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. Uh-oh. Now, think about that for a minute. I don't associate fasting with pleasure. I don't know about you, but fasting, pleasure, really?
Eating and pleasure.
Yeah, eating and pleasure, maybe, but fasting and pleasure? I mean, come on. What is he talking about here? You seek your own pleasure. When you fast, you're seeking your own pleasure. Well, Jesus addressed the issue of fasting as well. And so I want to take a look at that because I think he touches on one aspect of that. Jesus did. And we're going to come right back to Isaiah 58 also. But in Matthew 6, 16 through 18, I'll just read those verses to you. Jesus said, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces. Why? So that their fasting may be seen by others. He goes, listen, how they're fasting what? They're seeking their own pleasure. They want to feel that nice, goody, warm feeling when somebody taps him on the back and says, you're amazing. You fasted how long? Oh, my gosh. You're incredible, Mike. Wow. I mean, that's what they were doing it for. And Jesus says, hey, you know what? If that's what they're doing it for, truly, they have their reward. They got it. Bravo. You had a few people go, yay, you're amazing. Okay, you got what you wanted, right? That's it. Over. He's like, wait a minute, don't do that. He says, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face that you're fasting. Why? That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He says, the reason you fast, you know, do it in secret. I can remember years ago, now we don't disfigure our faces and look gloomy and dishevel our hair, you know, when we fast. And, well, I don't know, Bob must be fasting because he looks like a wreck, you know. I mean, we don't do that anymore, right? But we do something a little different sometimes. And I remember the Lord pointed this out to me a number of years ago. It was back in the 90s, Bill Bright was doing like a 40-day fast for the harvest and encouraging people to fast and all this stuff. So the church I was a part of at the time, great church, by the way, but a lot of people were getting excited about fasting, and everybody's, well, how long are you going to fast? Well, I'm going to fast for 10 days. I'm going to do 12 days. I think I can do 14. I'm going for 14, you know. And we're all kind of talking, and I'm, you know, 5. I don't know. I could maybe do 3. And, you know, everybody's going back and forth talking about how long they're going to fast for. And I'm right in the doing the same thing, you know. And the Lord just spoke to me, and he said, Bob, why does anybody need to know how long you're fasting? I'm like, I don't know. I guess they really don't need to know. In fact, it's a lot better if they don't. Oh, yeah, that's right. You did say something about that, didn't you? You know, I mean, now my wife might need to know, right? Because she makes dinner, right? So she needs to plan a little bit, right? I mean, there is a reason sometimes you got to tell somebody. But basically, he's saying, just do it. If you want to fast, don't make some big grand announcement. Don't talk about it 2 months later. You know how long I fasted for, you know, or, you know, let's just go fast. That's all. Dad knows about it. It's cool. Your Father sees it's all right. That's the way to fast. He says, then he'll reward you. Then your fast really will have an impact when that happens. I have a feeling that in the 90s, when a lot of us were doing it, we were just losing weight. But anyways, all right, let's, I should be kind to other people, right? It was for me, right? That's how it was for me. So anyways, he goes on, you seek your own pleasure. You seek your own pleasure. And even in James 4, 1 through 4, prayer and fasting are kind of the flip side of this, kind of very similar things. James 4, James is talking about prayer, and he says a very similar thing about prayer. He says, you're praying, you're not getting answers to your prayer. Why? Because you just want to spend it on yourself. It's just about you. See, they were fasting, why? For a breakthrough from what, you know? It's like, but, and what I mean by that is, you know, like, God, make people like me more and think I'm more amazing. And, you know, it's all about, you know, what can happen for me out of this thing. And it was very, very kind of very self-centered fasting going on. They're seeking their own pleasure in their fast. There's something else was going on. He says, and you oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight, to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like this, like yours this day, will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? He says, when you're fasting, you're getting grumpy at people. You're getting irritated at them. And I get it, you know, when you're fasting, you're hungry, you're more tempted to be irritable, right? He's saying, listen, don't do that. Be really careful about that. Deal with it. I'm fasting, right? You know, I'm meanie today, but I got a good excuse, you know? No, don't fast like that, he's saying. But not only that, when fasting is done for the wrong reasons and for self-serving reasons, it tends to lead to oppression, really. If we got what we wanted, it's just about all us, right? It's about what we can get. If I could just get people to like me more and do more of what I wanted, and if things happen around here the way I see fit that they ought to happen, then everything would be awesome, right? For me, anyways. And, you know, we'd be a lot of times trampling over people in the process. And this happened with Jesus. Look at what he says here. This is really interesting. Verse 6, he says, is not this the fast that I choose? The Lord says, listen, I'm going to tell you how I would fast if I was fasting. Did Jesus ever fast? oh yeah, this is why Jesus fasted. This is how he fasted. I want to know what was going on in Jesus' mind when he fasted. Don't you? This is his fast. This is the fast that God would choose. When Jesus started the new covenant, before he began his ministry, you know, Moses fasted 40 days, the Mosaic covenant came along. Jesus fasted 40 days, 40 nights for the new covenant, before the new covenant, and in the ministry of bringing the new covenant. And so he fasts that way. But you know what happened? What's really interesting, when you follow Jesus in his fast, you see what, he gets to the end of that 40 days, he's probably going to break the fast that evening. Still just got a couple hours to go. He's getting really hungry, and along comes Satan. What does he want to do? He wants to steal his fast, right? He just fasted for 40 days. He wants to nullify that thing. He wants that fasting to be for naught, and he wants to totally throw the whole thing off. And, you know, the devil will try to do that with your fast. He'll try to nullify your fast and make your fast ineffective, too, by doing these kinds of things. And look at what he did to Jesus. He said, hey, Jesus, I know you've been fasting 40 days, and you're amazing. You're awesome. Hey, turn this stone into bread, you know? Just turn it into bread. Of course, Jesus is a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You're not God, so I'm not listening to you, you know? And so what did Satan want him to do? He wanted him to turn that fast. He wanted to turn it into a pleasure-seeking thing, right? Just turn that into bread, nice, piping hot. You could do it. He's going, that's not why I'm fasting. Not fasting for me. And he says, well, hey, throw yourself down from the temple here. Really, throw yourself down right from here. The angels will come and they'll catch you before you hit the bottom. And everybody's going to go, woo, amazing. Jesus goes, no. I'm not going to do that. He says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You know, what do you think you are? Trying to get me to just kind of do this whole thing. And then, you see, Jesus said, I haven't come to do my own will. That's what he says in the Gospel of John. I came to do the will of him who sent me, right? So Satan is trying to get him to turn that fast around and make it into just what Jesus can get for Jesus, right? All about what he gets out of it. And he's saying, I ain't buying it, Satan. Satan says, well, listen, I'll tell you what. You bow down and worship me, I'll get all the nations to follow after you. Everything's going to go perfectly. It's going to go just the way you want it to go. I mean, really good. Now, the interesting thing is in Psalm 2, the Father already promised the Son he'd give the nations as his inheritance. But, of course, the devil's saying, hey, we're talking shortcut city here. Forget that cross business. I mean, I can get everybody is just going to come along and be your biggest fan. It's going to be awesome. Comfortable life, cushy chairs. I mean, forever, man. Like, yeah, it's going to be great. And Jesus, again, he's not fasting for himself. He's not seeking his own pleasure when he institutes the new covenant, is he? This is not a selfish fast. He's not into looking great. I'm going to fast so I can be more amazing, so everybody think how awesome I am. He's like, no. He's, I can do these incredible miracles and fall from towers and angels will snag me up. And, you know, it's like all this goofy stuff, right? He's like, no, I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm not going to do it. And, of course, he rebukes the devil. Devil goes his way. But the devil tried to steal his fast. He'll try to do that to you, too. He'll try to nullify your fast. He'll do various things to try to do that. But Jesus wasn't self-centered in his fasting at all. He's other-centered. Now he goes on here, and he says, this is the fast I choose. He says, Jesus says, really, we can look back, we can say, this is why Jesus fasted. Here's why he did it. To loose the bonds of wickedness, we're in verse 6. To undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. I love that. God says, this is the way I would fast. This is what I would do when I'm fasting. He goes, you loose the bonds of wickedness. Why? People are bound. And some people are really bound. I mean, it's just like no matter how much you pray for them or talk to them or do for them, there's no breakthrough. You're not seeing it happening. Why? There's this spiritual battle going on. They are bound up in wickedness. There's this bondage in their life. He says, you fast for that, it'll loosen up the bonds of wickedness in that person's life. And then it's going to undo the straps of the yoke. What's the yoke? The yoke gets placed on the cattle so that the farmer can turn that cow wherever he wants it to go, right? That's what the devil's doing with people's lives. Just got these yoke on them, right? And it can be yoke of false religion, can be yoke of whatever it is, you know? And he says, listen, I want you to fast. A good fast, the fast that I choose, it takes that yoke off. It takes that off that person. And it lets the oppressed go free. They're free now. But it's even better yet. And to break every yoke. So he takes the yoke off people's lives, and then he takes it aside, and then he breaks the thing so that it can never get back on them again. Isn't that wonderful? I love the Lord. That's what the Lord wants to do in our fast. That's how he wants to partner with us in fasting, to see people set free for good, for good. I love it. He goes on, he says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? I know I've talked to people, for years, like, and you see, sometimes you see needs and you see situations and you're like, man, I just wish I had more money to give. Wish I had more money to give. Well, you could. You take the money that you were going to spend for your meal that day. Maybe it's only a buck or two, you know. You take it, maybe you fast for a whole day. Okay, now we're up to $4 or $5. You know, you take that money and you set it aside. I mean, if you like do that for like one meal a week, that's like $52. If it's like a buck, say it's a dollar for your meal that you make at home, right? Yeah, maybe about a buck or so. Okay, I'll take that dollar, I'll set it aside every time I skip that meal and fast. Then a need hits or I go, okay, there's a hungry person. There's somebody in need. I got something to give now. So maybe you're not wealthy, but you're going to eat, right? So you just skip a meal, right? You just fast. Maybe it's a day or whatever. But you do that money. You take those resources you would use to feed yourself, and you turn around and you give those resources away to somebody else. That will really rejuvenate a fast right there alone. I mean, that's exciting just thinking about that. Like, wow, I'm just freeing up some resources to help somebody. This is awesome, exciting. I don't even have to go into depth over it. I mean, this is great. I love it, you know? So it's a good opportunity to bring the homeless poor in your house. You know, so maybe you do bring the homeless poor in your house, or maybe you just give to a ministry that does these kinds of things, you know? You take from your resources and you give to somebody else. When you see the naked, to cover him, again, not to hide yourself from your own flesh. So you're using your resources that you would normally take to feed yourself, and you're giving them away to help somebody else. And then you're not hiding yourself from your own flesh. You're thinking about your own family situation as well. You're looking at your own needs of your own family. It's a great time. Fasting is a great time to reflect on needs of your own family, people in your own family, to fast for them, to fast for breakthrough for people in your own family. It's a good time to do that. Look at this promise. He starts unraveling promises. He says, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. I love that. By the way, I want to just say something. I really want to say this. I just feel on my heart I ought to. If you're going, I'd love to fast, but I can't because of health reasons. There's a wide variety of ways you can fast. Do you know you can do a juice fast? Maybe you're a diabetic and you need to have something. Have some juice that might take care of it. I mean, talk to your doctor, right? Daniel, when he was an old man, he fasted when he was a young man. Beginning of chapter 10, he's an old man. He's probably not in great health. He's right toward the end of his life. And he wants to fast, you can kind of tell, but he doesn't. What does he do? For 21 days, he doesn't eat, doesn't drink any wine, doesn't eat any meat, cuts out all desserts, and doesn't put cologne on. That's what he does for 21 days. God gives him a wonderful vision. There's breakthrough. He gets the last three chapters of Daniel, you know, which talks about the freedom, talks about oppression coming in at the end times, but God coming in and bringing freedom to his people. I mean, it's letting the oppressed go free. I mean, that's his vision there, 10 through 12. So don't let that stop you. You know what I'm saying? Or don't say, oh, I can't do one of those 7-day, you know, who cares? Just skip a meal. You know what I mean? Do what you can do. So don't let that throw you off. But anyways, all right, we're moving on. Okay, look at the promises and the benefits of doing this. Verse 8, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. God's going to cause your light to break forth when you fast like this. There's going to be stuff coming out of your life that's going to really impact. It's going to shine brightly. It's going to really help people. Your healing shall spring up speedily. Maybe physical, maybe emotional, who knows what. But when you're pouring yourself out in fasting for somebody else, God says, I'm going to bring your own healing to your own life. You're giving out, I'm going to give back to you. He goes on, he says, your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. That's really good to know, because I'll tell you, when you begin to do stuff like this, you become a target. You certainly will. If you want to take this seriously, you want to do this stuff, you become a target of the evil one, don't you? But God says, listen, don't worry about that. I got your rear guard. I got your backside. I'm going to protect you. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. He says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. He says, your prayers are going to be more effective. They're going to have deeper, more effective impact. Again, a spiritual battle going on. You're tying up. What did Jesus say? He said, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. This is what he says when he institutes the new covenant, the first message he makes after he's fasting. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. 1 John 4:8 says the reason Jesus appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Fasting is very spiritual, and it breaks demonic strongholds in people's lives. It's really, when you're looking, you're saying, I don't know what else to do for that person. Fast for him. Fast for him. I've tried telling him everything I can. I prayed for him. Fast for him. Do a fast and a prayer. Combine the two. Do them together. That demonic thing get broken in the name of Jesus. Amen. So then he goes, he says, then you shall call, the Lord will answer, you shall cry, he'll say, here I am. If, now he gets conditional with us again, and he does this several times. This is not about his love for us, that's not conditional, thank God, right? But there are conditions. We have to actually do certain things for certain things to happen. We actually do have to do that. God gives us plenty of grace to do it. He'll always give us the grace to do everything that he asks us to do. That's wonderful. I love that about him. It's not something from our own power or strength, right? But anyways, let's move on with this. He says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. He says, listen, I'm going to cause this great breakthrough to happen. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. In other words, if you stop being a fault finder and going, gee, that person, boy, they really need something going on in their life. They're really messed up. Gee, that one, boy, I don't know. And man, if this church would only do this way, it would be awesome. And this thing ought to happen. And that ought to happen. And that person's life, I don't know about them. He's saying, listen, just stop pointing fingers at people and go help them for goodness sake. Take, you see a yoke on them? Get the yoke off them. Take the yoke from your midst. Don't wait for Pastor Mike to do it. You know, you can go, really. You can be the person to set somebody free in the name of Jesus. You can be the one to take that yoke from your midst. I love that. That's what he says when you fast with him, when you partner with him in your fasting. The pointing of the finger, the speaking wickedness. Just stop doing that. Don't be a fault finder. Go take care of that problem. Verse 10, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, if you pour yourself out for the hungry, wow, think about that. You're pouring yourself out. You're going to get tired doing this kind of thing. It's tiring. It's not always entertaining. And sometimes it's just flat out exhausting. But he says, if you do this, it's worth it. It's worth it. He says, second half of verse 10, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. This is amazing. Your light shall rise in the darkness. You might be in a really tough place, but if you do this, if you take your eyes off yourself and you fast for somebody else and you take the yoke from your midst that you see, and you go minister to that situation, your light's going to shine even in the darkness. Your gloom is going to be as the noonday. You might think your life is a shambles, and he says, listen, when you're reaching out and you're pouring yourself out for others and you're fasting for others and you're giving to others, I'm going to make even your gloomy situation be as bright as the noonday. The light of Christ is going to shine through you, even in the midst of that mess that you find yourself in. Isn't that wonderful? I love that promise. I'm like, Lord, this is so cool. I want to fast. I don't know about you. This is like, oh, this is so exciting, man. This is cool. This is a fast. I get excited about a fast like this. This is really cool. He goes on and he says, verse 11, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places. I love that. He's going to be with you, guiding you continually, helping you to go the right direction. And he's going to satisfy your desires even when you're in the middle of an inferno. I love that. In the scorched places, he's going to satisfy your desire. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You ever been in some scorched places? Amen. And make your bones strong. You're going to have something about your life is going to be strengthened because of him. Because he's going to strengthen you. He's going to make your bones strong. This is not something you're working up on your own. I got to try really hard. He goes, yeah, you can't do it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll make your bones strong. I'll help you be able to stand up under it. I love that about the Lord. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Jesus said, he who believes in me, out of his inner person, there will be a fountain of living waters will flow up out of him, right? You know, and that's when we fast like this, there's just this breakthrough that happens in our life and through our life, whose waters do not fail. There's always something to help the thirsty one. Always something coming out of us that helps the thirsty one, the one that's in need, whose waters do not fail. You're going to be like a watered garden, like a spring of water. I mean, that spring of water might not be raining out. Might not be any rain out there, nothing, no source of water anywhere else. It's just coming up from the ground. There it is. And it's watering that garden. No matter how difficult the situation, no matter how tough it is, it gets better. Verse 12, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. The broken, wounded places from years ago. That thing that happened to you way back then. He says, I'll even go in and I'll even start repairing that stuff in your life when you're pouring out for somebody else, when you're interceding, when you're giving out to others. I'll do all this stuff for you. I'll go in there and I'll fix all that stuff. I'll rebuild those ancient ruins in your heart. I love that about the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? He's like, I'm going to come alongside. I'm going to bring healing into your life. You just keep pouring out and I'll just keep pouring in. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. He goes on, he says, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. So if you fast like this and you're seeking the Lord in this way, he says, you're going to raise up the foundations of many generations. There's going to be stuff coming out of your life that's going to lay foundations for people. It's going to lay foundations for your posterity, for the ones coming after you. They're going to be able to build on that. On what you lay out there, the foundations that are laid out. You shall be called the repairer of the breach. I love that. You're going to be the one who fixes problems, not the one who makes them. I love that. You'll be the fixer, not the breaker, right? You're going to be the repairer. You shall be called the repairer of the breach. You're looking for that yoke. Where's that person bound? I'm going to get in there. I'm going to repair that breach. Where's that broken relationship? I'm going to try to bring reconciliation there. Right? Where's that issue I got with this brother? I want to get that thing right. I want to get that breach taken care of between us. I want to solve that thing. I want to repair that breach. You're going to be the restorer of streets to dwell in. Around your life is going to be this comfort zone, safe zone, good place to dwell. Like to have that one as my neighbor, you know? I'm safe with this one. You know, that's what's going to flow out of your life. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. The restore of streets to dwell in. People are going to be able to live well. They're going to, there's just good breakthrough in the community, just a safe place in your community. It says, verse 13, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, another condition, here we go. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then, all right, so this is really cool. I love this. What's this thing about the Sabbath? What's going on with the Sabbath thing? I mentioned this a while ago. I think it was a couple months ago. I was teaching about this. Hebrews 4 really brings this out, and it's really, really cool. That there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, but whoever has entered God's rest has rested also from his own work, right? That's what Hebrews 4, 9 through 11 talks about. See, what he's saying is when you fast, let that be realignment time. You know, let that be a time of realignment in your life. You know, the Sabbath rest is what? It's doing the will of God. It's resting from your own works. The Sabbath was a weird thing in ancient culture. You know, Sabbath was not normal. It's become normal in the United States. We're just kind of, yeah, that's the day off, right? Sunday, whatever, the weekend. Okay, that wasn't the norm in the entire world. God introduced it to the people of Israel to take a Sabbath rest. That was hard for people in those days because you were living hand to mouth most of the time. You got to get out there and work. You're not going to have enough. God says, listen, just trust me. Take a rest. Do what I'm telling you to do. Stop from your own labors. See, when we enter into the rest of God, we cease from our own labors, from our own works. That's what he's talking about here. He's saying, when you fast, make sure your fast is in accordance with what I want. What, then you'll have an impact. If it's going along with what my will is, if your life is getting realigned, you go, wait a minute, a little bit out of alignment here. Okay, I got to get this. Oop, okay. Fast is a great time to realign. Say, okay, Lord, what's your will? Here, I want to do your will. Realignment time. He's saying, do that. And then, another promise, more promises. I love these promises. They just keep coming. He says, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I love this. You shall take delight in the Lord. Did you know that it ought to be awesomely fun to serve God? Did you know that? And it really is. It's a lot of fun. You see, if we're fasting just out of duty or obligation, or maybe I can just, you know, be more effective at manipulating people. I mean, you know, we don't say that, but you know, yeah, God, if everybody just did it my way, it'd be so much more awesome. I guess I'll fast for that. You know, I mean, if we get, you know, out of that mindset and we're fasting and we're seeking the Lord in the way he wants us to, it's a delight to serve him. Then fasting gets exciting. You go, man, this is so much fun. There's all these breakthroughs that are going to happen because I'm fasting. This is so exciting. I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do. And so it's a delight. It's exciting. It's fun. I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. You're gonna soar like the eagles. We sang that song, right? I'll soar like the eagle, right? He's like, you're going to be soaring. There's going to be neat things going on there. And he says, I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I'm going to feed your soul and your spirit with something. As you're laboring, as you're fasting, as you're doing this, I'm going to feed you with the heritage of Jacob. It's going to keep you motivated. It's going to keep you going. And everybody's going, what on earth is the heritage of Jacob, right? Let's take a look at it. Genesis 28:14. I'll just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. This is what he says. He says, your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad. This is what the Lord said to Jacob. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He said, you're going to be a blessing to lots of people. And it's even going to go and affect other nations at times. He says, this is blessing mode. Your whole life's just going to become a blessing to people. He said, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to feed you with that. And you're going to see blessing coming out of your life. And you're going to go, yeah, let's keep it going, Lord. It's going to keep you motivated. It's going to keep you excited for the things of God. Because you're going to see the Lord doing stuff in you and through you. And because of Christ, because of the work that he's done in us, and because we're partnering with him, we're not doing this thing on our own. It's not a fast for moi, you know? It's a fast for him and to help other people, right? Not trying to manipulate God and get him to do something I want. Or manipulate people, have greater ability to manipulate others. You know, it's not what it's about. The Lord says, get away from that, take away from that. I want to leave you with an example of somebody who did this in the scriptures. I love this story. I love it. It's in Luke. It's in the Gospel of Luke, and I'll just kind of share it with you. You can read it later if you want to, but it's in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. There's the reference. There's this woman, Anna, okay, 84-year-old widow. She had been married 7 years. Her husband died. She was a widow for the rest of her life. So what did she do with her life? She's a widow, for goodness sake. That's tough, especially in those days. Probably didn't even have any kids. Who knows? But what she did is she prayed and she fasted regularly in the temple, praying and fasting. Scripture says she was a prophetess. And it says later when Jesus came, she spoke to everyone about him, all those who were seeking and looking for the consolation of Israel. What's the consolation of Israel? What was that? That was the Messiah's coming, guys. It's tough now, but the Messiah's coming. It's going to be all right. The Messiah's on his way. That was the consolation of Israel. That was the hope of Israel. She's a prophetess. What is she praying and fasting for? I think she's praying and fasting for the Messiah to come. I think that's what she's doing. She knows he's on his way. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. Oh, Lord, get the nation ready. Oh, Lord, I know you're coming. Get the nation ready for you. She is praying. She's fasting. She's praying for the Messiah to come. She knows he's on his way, but she's praying at the same time. You know, we have to do those two things. She's praying and she's fasting. You know, the Lord spoke to, I'll just throw this out there. Sometimes we think, oh, I got a word from the Lord. It's going to happen. You know, what did the Lord tell Elijah with the 3 years of drought and it wasn't raining? The Lord said, hey, he spoke to him, it's going to rain. He tells Ahab, get back to the palace. I hear the sound of rain. It's going to rain. But what did he have to do? He had to go pray. And he had to keep doing it. He had to keep doing it like 7 times. Going back, is it there yet? No, it's not there yet. Oh, got to pray some more. Oh, is it there yet? No, it's not there yet. Oh, got to pray some more. Is it there yet? No, it's not there yet. Oh, got to pray. I mean, he just did it like over and over again. So even though the Lord may give us a promise, we got to pray and we got to fast and we got to see those things through. The Lord wants us to do that. And so Anna is praying and fasting for Messiah to come, for the nation to get ready for Messiah. And then in he walks. There were tons of people dedicating their babies all the time, every day. On the 8th day, they had to do it. There was always an 8th day for somebody. There's people coming into that temple all the time, a big hubbub. Babies coming, parents, you know, babies crying, everything. They're getting dedicated. Suddenly, Jesus comes in with his parents. Simeon, the Holy Spirit taps him on the shoulders. Anna, they're there. Oh my goodness, the Messiah. He's here. Did she get excited or what? I mean, you know what she had been doing is she's seeking the Lord. Her ancient ruins are getting rebuilt. You know, she was a widow. Remember that? She didn't dwell on that. She sought the Lord. She sought breakthrough for others. And God said, I'm even going to take care of that ancient ruin of yours. And he's healing her. He's bringing healing into her life. And suddenly, she sees the Messiah. There he is. And what did she do? She became a repairer of the breach as she went about declaring to people the promised Messiah is here. You know, she was repairing the breach. She was getting the people ready for the Lord, praying and interceding for them to be ready. She starts talking, declaring the Messiah is here. She's a restorer of streets to dwell in. People are regaining hope in their hearts. He's here. He's only a baby, but he's here. He's here. The Messiah is here. You see what happened about 30 years later when John the Baptist started preaching? Everybody was abuzz. I wonder why. I think Anna and Simeon were talking to people about this. We've seen the Messiah. He's here. Yeah, he's just a baby, but he's going to grow up someday. And everybody, a lot of people are thinking about that. That gets out. I mean, gossip goes fast, you know, especially in Israel, right? I mean, you know, they're like, oh my goodness, the Messiah's here. Along comes John the Baptist. They're all going, is it him? Could it be? He says, it's not me, but he's coming. He's like right now. He's like just about ready to show up. Get ready right now. Get ready. And some of the people get ready. See, what did she did? Her prayer and her fasting, she laid the foundations of many generations, right? She got the next generation ready with her prayer and her fasting. She got it ready with her sharing and her preaching and her intercession and her fasting. She raises that up. She helps get the nation ready for the Messiah. And we know some of them responded, some of them didn't. We know how that all went. But I'll tell you, don't you ever say, I mean, she's an 84-year-old widow, for goodness sake, harmless little old lady, right? Don't ever say, I'm just a little old. Oh, my goodness. Don't ever say that. Don't ever go there. You can pray and you can fast, okay? You can do that, right? Like I said, maybe you got to modify your fast based on your health situation. You be careful about that, but you can do it. And you can have incredible impact through your prayers and through your fasting, through your seeking the Lord on behalf of somebody else. Anna did, just a little old frail widow. She had an amazing impact. I love that. See, that's great. I mean, greatness in the kingdom is available to everybody. Everybody. She had no position. My goodness, she's a widow in Israel, for goodness sake. But she didn't let that stop her from seeking the Lord and seeking breakthrough for her nation, for her people, for her community. So let's be encouraged to do that, to seek the Lord. The Lord wants to use us, wants to use each one of us. And if you fast, just meditate on this scripture, Isaiah 58, it'll get you excited about what the Lord wants to do in you and through your fast as we fast with him and partner with him in that. Can we just pray and then I'll just turn it over to Mike here. Lord, Father, we just pray you would speak to our hearts. Lord Jesus, where's the yoke in our midst that you want us to break? Whose yoke do you want us to fast for? Which bond of wickedness do you want us to see broken and fast for and see breakthrough? God, we just pray you'd move in our hearts that we would do that, whatever it is you put on our hearts to do. Lord, we want to do your will, not ours. We want to fast in accordance with your will. Father, help us to do that. Show that. Show us where it is and what you want us to do. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.